Question for you guys this morning. How many of you have ever been asked to believe the impossible? You ever been asked to believe that? And how many of you actually believed it? Nobody, right? Like you didn't. We've kind of been conditioned to that in our culture. We kind of have this whole, if it's too good to be true, if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably, what, is too good to be true, right? Now, do you know why we feel that way? It's because advertisers are liars. That's why we feel that way. And it's really gotten bad in the last 10 to 15 years with the advent of the infomercial, right? These infomercials come out and they say, this is going to happen. All you have to do is take this pill and you'll lose 100 pounds, right? Or it even really started, remember when the Solo Flex came out? Remember that thing? And it had this ripped dude and they would say, 15 minutes a day, 3 days a week is all it takes. That's a lie. Complete and total lie. I got a picture of a machine here. Have you heard of this thing? It's like a belt that you're supposed to put around your waist and it's going to shock the fat off of you. Like you can hear that and you know that's lunacy, right? One of my favorites, actually, is go ahead and go to the next picture, is the spray hair. Have you seen that? It's like if you're bald, I'm supposed to take some spray and I'm going to spray that on and it's going to magically make it look like I'm not bald. And there's actually another one I want to show you. This is called the one-touch can opener. Have you guys ever heard of this? It's supposed to be magic. Like you literally put it on top of the can and just press one button and it's supposed to open the can up and you never have to worry with those, you know, flim-flamming can openers, how they say it. But here's the amazing thing about this, okay? It actually works. All right, watch this. If I can make it work. Watch. Okay, all right. See, no hands. Like, I'm just holding it, and it's going around, and it's going to town, and it's really slow, and it sounds like the batteries are dying. Second hour might not get this, so count yourself lucky. All right, stop. And voila. Look at that. See? And you didn't believe it. Because you have been conditioned to believe that if things sound too good to be true, that means that they are too good to be true. And in many areas of life, that's a great thing to have. It's good to be cynical. It's good to question. It's good to walk around life saying, no, that can't be so. No, I should not spend $100 on a belt that's going to shock the fat away. Take that $100 and invest in an exercise program and work out. That is the only way to lose weight. But see, here's what really hit me a few weeks ago as I was thinking through this. Thinking about our mentality of, that just sounds too good to be true. Our mentality of, we don't believe the impossible. Yeah, you may say those things, but it's really hard for me to buy in and believe it. And see, it started with infomercials and it started with these marketers, but there's a place I think it's crept into. I think it lives here. Not at the movie theater, but amongst God's people. I think it lives in church. I think we are so used to seeing marketing and those things say, all you have to do is this, and all your troubles will go away. All you have to do is this, and all your problems will be solved. All you have to do is this, and the fat will disappear. What I think's happened is you come in here and you hear me say things like, yes, God can do the impossible in your life. The God of the universe wants to radically transform you. And I think what some of you say is, well, that just sounds too good to be true. So I don't believe it. That's nice for you. That's nice that some of you want to go there, but I've been burned too many times. I've been down that road. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to enjoy the music and it's going to make me feel good for a day or two. But please stop asking me to believe that God can do impossible things in my life. Because he can't. Because it sounds too good to be true. Well, I'm here to tell you today, God can and wants to do the impossible in your life. But you don't have to take my word for it. We're going to dive in today and look at a story of a young lady who God asked to believe the impossible. And she did. And her life was changed because of it. All of our lives were changed because of it. And there are some traits that we can pick up from this young lady that I think can apply to all of us. So let's go ahead and dive in. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. Luke 1. We're going to start in verse 26, okay? And here's where we're going to go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. All right, let me set the stage a bit. First of all, first thing you see there, it says in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth is Mary's cousin, okay? And Elizabeth was very, very old and had assumed she couldn't have children. And what had just happened previously in Luke is we had just seen the story of this same angel Gabriel coming and telling her husband Zechariah, who was a priest, saying, hey, guess what? Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And Zechariah didn't really believe him, but that's a whole other story. But that's what had just happened, okay? And so now we see that this same angel is coming to talk to Mary. Number two, very important. Mary was a virgin. That's key. That's key. Number three, it says Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. That's really not a good descriptor, all right? That's like as good as we can do in English. But they were a little more than engaged. In the Jewish culture, especially at this time, there was a period of time between when you said public vows before family and when you actually lived together and when you actually were together. Not if you get what I mean there. Good. This isn't a sex series, so just go with me. Basically, they had gone to the church. They'd done a ceremony, but they hadn't gotten to the honeymoon suite yet, all right? They were like at a three-month-long reception, which is the worst thing I can imagine. But that's where they were. In the legal sense, they were actually married, okay? So it's a little stronger than that and all that kind of stuff. So there we go. All right, so that kind of sets the stage of what's going on. This lady, Mary, lady, she's really a girl. She's probably about 13, 14 years old. And this angel's about to show up, and here we go. Verse 28. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." All right, that's like the equivalent of the angel popping up and saying, "Mary, you go, girl. You good." You know? Can you imagine if an angel popped up and said that? This is what Mary said. 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I think you would be confused as well if an angel popped up and was like, "You rock." I'm like, "No, you're an angel. What are you doing?" Verse 30, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. You notice a pattern that the angels always have to say, "Don't be afraid"? Why didn't God just make the angels not scary? But anyway. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Mary's sitting there. "Yeah, you said that already. What in the world does that mean? What is happening?" And then the bombshell. 31. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." If that's not enough, "He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And at this point, Mary's head exploded. Because she, what? She couldn't comprehend all this. That's way too much for any one individual to ever say. You know, first of all, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And the way the Greek actually reads there is, you are going to get pregnant now. And you're going to have a baby, well, 9 months from now. Now. You're going to get pregnant. And oh, by the way, you're going to get pregnant, and guess what? The baby you're going to have, king of the universe. He's going to rule everything. He's going to be that Messiah you've been talking about, that's him. And you're going to be the mom. So, congratulations, Mary. And Mary, you know, again, her head exploded. And so she's trying to wrap her brain around everything, and she's thinking about, wait a minute, what's going to happen? What? I'm going to have God's kid? What's happening? Joseph. Joseph is never going to believe me when I say that an angel appeared. And I go, oh, no. Oh, no, what's going to happen? So this is what she says. She goes to the angel. 34, Mary asks the angel, but how can this happen? Because I am a virgin. And what she's saying is, and I would prefer to stay one until I get married. See, things weren't really good for you if you were a chick back then and this had happened. And then you got pregnant. Yeah, bad things could have happened to you. Bad, bad things. But she loved Joseph too. And so she was like, man, I don't know, God, how can this happen? How is it possible? I've never had sex, but I'm going to have a baby that, I don't know a lot, but I don't think that happens. In verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. Oh, well, that explains it. Oh, the Holy Spirit is going to overtake me. Okay, thanks, God, really. This is fantastic. That's exactly what I needed to hear. You're basically saying, I'm going to get pregnant without ever having sex. Joy. Still a little confused. And I think the angel could sense it. I think the angel could sense she doesn't quite get it. She's still afraid. She doesn't understand that the greatest thing that's ever going to happen in humanity has just happened to her. Let me throw her a bone here. Let me help her out. Verse 36. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month. In other words, what the angel's saying there is, I know this is a lot to take in. I know you're confused. I know this is shocking. But if you don't believe me, go ask your cousin Elizabeth. Because I've already done something in her. See, he was easing her fears. He was easing her doubts. He was trying to make it a little easier for her to understand. Because Elizabeth, by this point, is probably 70 or 80 years old. All right? Like, this wasn't kind of a, you know, late 30s, early 40s. Maybe she could have squeezed it in. No. 70 to 80. Old. Done. No way. And then also, it's really cool. The angel wasn't saying, trust me, Elizabeth is going to get pregnant. That's not what he said. He said, believe me, because she's 6 months pregnant. You get the difference? It wasn't hope, just hope and hope and hope and trust and trust and trust and believe and believe and believe. It was, go check it out for yourself if you don't believe me. She's 6 months pregnant. I'm not playing around here. It happened. Go and check it out. And then he adds this little nugget, verse 37. And this is the verse that I believe can change our life. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So my question for you today is, do you believe it? Are you even open to believing it? Do you want to believe it? Or have you grown so accustomed to your life, so accustomed to the way you go about your day-to-day business, so accustomed to those addictions that you'd kind of like to get rid of, but they've kind of become comfortable, that you don't want to believe God for the impossible? When you think about making changes in your life, when you think about the things that you need to get rid of, then can you believe nothing is impossible with God? See, it's easy right now. It's real easy for me to say, how many of you believe that nothing is impossible with God? And you'd be like, yeah, because you're here. Now, what I want you to get to is on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, when things actually come up that stink, when situations arise that you don't know how you're going to get out of, then is when I want you to believe, hey, wait a minute, nothing's impossible with God. God's got this. God can help you make those changes you need to make. When God begins to whisper in your ear about that addiction you have, that you're the only person that knows about, but it's destroying you, and you've tried everything you can think of to break it, and it doesn't work. But when God starts whispering in your ear, hey, I can help you beat that. I can. Then do you believe nothing's impossible with God? When that day happens where you look at your marriage and you realize that you're no longer two people in love, you're roommates raising kids together, and you don't know what's going to happen when the kids go off to college because you're roommates, there ain't even a spark to be found. The spark's been gone for 10 years. At that moment, do you believe nothing's impossible with God? Do you believe the God of the universe can reignite that spark and can bring it all back together? When you're faced with that friend who betrayed you, they did something awful. And every time you come here on a Sunday morning, it pops back in your head, I need to call them. I need to forgive them. I need to make things right with them. Because I'm forgiven and I should be able to forgive them. But then you start thinking about what they actually did to you, and you start replaying it over and over and over in your head. And you're like, no, it's impossible to forgive them. Is it? Because nothing's impossible with God. But see, we walk in this world of this, it's too good to be true mentality. That when these statements are made, when I stand up here and say, God can heal your marriage, you just want to say, that sounds too good to be true, Trey. That sounds like a belt I'm going to strap on that's going to make me lose weight. I live in the real world. And that's okay. That's okay. We're all on a journey, and I'm hoping to get you by the end of today to where you can say, okay, I'm willing to try this. Because see, Mary did. Mary heard this. Mary heard an angel tell her, you're going to have a baby without ever having sex, and number two, he's going to be the king of the world. That's impossible stuff. But Mary said, okay, I believe you. Verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. God said, hey, I want to do something amazing in your life. I want to do something impossible. Are you in? Are you out? Mary said, I'm in. I'm in. And her life was changed forever. How about you? In or out? And I know what you want to say. Trey, yes. If an angel ever appeared to me and said that he wanted to do this, yes, I would be in. I would be in. That's my natural inclination as well, but you miss the point when you go there, okay? Because what the point is, the same God that did this through Mary, the same God that said, yes, Mary, I want to do the impossible through you to change the world. That same God is the very same God who's yelling at you right now and saying, I can save your marriage. It's the same God who's saying, you think that addiction's got you? That addiction is nothing compared to my love and my power over you. I can help you beat it like that. That person who you think's wronged you, I can come in and I can actually change your heart. So where it's not when they walk in the room that you have to grin and bear it. I can make it so when they walk in a room, you actually love them again. I can do that because I'm God and I can do the impossible. It's the same God. The same God that over 2,000 years ago said this to Mary is telling each one of us today, I want to do the impossible through you. But see, there's some key ingredients that Mary had that I think we all need to be able to position ourselves to believe and accept and run and walk and go with God when he comes to us and he says, hey, I want to do the impossible through you. There's some key things. First, the angel tells us when he shows up, he says, Mary, you have found favor with God. All right? Mary had found favor with God. That means she pleased God. It means God was well pleased with her. How'd she do that? Hebrews 11, 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. So she believed in God. I know that sounds kind of weird to say the reason Mary believed God is because she believed in God, right? So let me explain it, make it a little clearer. Mary had a personal, growing relationship with the God of the universe. We know this because the angel wouldn't have come to her and said, "You have found favor with God," without it. We are told over and over and over and in this verse that it is impossible to please God without faith. She had a growing relationship with the God of the universe. And that relationship is the very same one offered to each and every one of you here. It's a growing relationship with God, made possible through Mary's son. All right, so that's what she had. She had a relationship with him. She knew God. If a stranger walked up to you and said, "Hey, I'm going to build you a brand new house," would you accept it? No, because you don't know the person. For some of you, I hate to say it, but the reason you can't believe God can do the impossible in your life is because you don't know God. Now, you know about God. You attend God's church. You enjoy his music. I make you laugh from time to time. But at the end of the day, if I were to ask you a question, do you have a personal relationship with the God of the universe? Your answer would have to be no, I don't. See, Mary did. And you need it. If you want God to do the impossible in you, you have to know him. You have to have a relationship with him. You have to spend time with him. You have to. Because when you do, see what Mary did? When God came and said, "Hey, Mary, I want to do the impossible in you. I want to change your life." Notice Mary didn't immediately just say, "Okay, Father God, yes." And she didn't start singing songs. What did she do? She freaked out and she asked questions. See, when you have a relationship with God, you can ask questions. He's fine with it. He didn't get mad at Mary. She was like, "How's this going to work?" And she answered. He answered. He said, "I'm going to take care of it." See, when God comes to you and he says, "I want to radically transform your life," you can say, "How are you going to do that, God?" When God says, "I want to radically restore your marriage," you can say, I don't know how that's going to work. God, can you explain that to me? Can you show me how that's going to work?" And see, when you ask that question, God is going to do the very same thing to you that he did with Mary. Number one, he's going to say, "Because I'm God. Because I can do it." But you know what else he's going to do? He's going to point. And he's going to say, "You can believe I'm going to do it because I've already done it here. And I've already done it here. And I've already done it in this person's life. And I've already done it in that person's life. And I've already done it there. And I've already done it there." I know this is a weird stretch, it's a weird leap, but do you know why we want you guys to be in community groups, the small groups that we design? Do you know why? It's so you can witness the God of the universe doing the impossible in the lives of others so that you can believe him when he wants to do the impossible in the life of you. That's why. Because when you're in community, you can see, "Hey, wait a minute. Their marriage was done, man. I talked to him about it. And look at him now. That's amazing. How did that happen?" God did it. It was a miracle. He healed us. Well, you know what? If God can do it in their life, why not our life? Why not? I talked to that guy, man. That guy, oh, man, he struggled so much with that addiction. I don't know if he was ever going to break it. I know what he was going to do. And look at him now. You can just see the look on his face. It's like the weight of the world's off his shoulders. How'd that happen? Well, the God of the universe stepped in and did the miraculous. See, if you want to see God do the impossible in your life, first, you need a growing relationship with him. Got to have it. But two, you've got to have other people in your life who are also experiencing a growing relationship with him, so that you can see God at work in their life. And conversely, so that they can see God at work in your life. So that's what happened with Mary. Mary didn't just take the angel's word for it and say, "Okay, Elizabeth is pregnant, fantastic." No, she went to check it out. She left, said, "Well, if she's 6 months pregnant, I'm going to know." So verse 39, she goes to check it out. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. She walks in the door, and Elizabeth's probably like, Mary! You know, because there's a big stomach there. And Mary sees it, and she's like, you know, her heart probably went crazy. And then look at this. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it works both ways. God used Elizabeth to give Mary strength. But then Mary showing up gave Elizabeth more hope of, this is really happening. This is what I've been told. I can't believe this. The impossible is happening. 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. 45, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You want to be blessed? You want to live the life God designed for you? You want to live the life free of those things that so easily entangle, as Paul says? Believe what the Lord has said. And if you want to do that, it's like Mary. You got to have a relationship with God that's growing. You got to have community around you where you can see it. And then when God comes to you and says, let's go, let's do the impossible, you have to do what Mary did and chase it. Run towards his call with all your heart. So here's what I want to ask. What impossible thing is God calling you to do right now? What is it? I don't know what it is. I'm not going to pretend to know. But I know God is always at work in his people and even in people that aren't his yet. He's trying to draw you close. He wants you near. He wants to do the impossible through you. I know that because it tells us in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. That means he created us. That means he shaped us. It means he molded us. It means he's working through us. And he says, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He knows what he wants to do through your life. He knows what the impossible thing is. And he has been orchestrating steps to bring you to this point to where you would have a face-to-face with him and you could say, all right, I'm going to do this. Or say, you know what, God, that's nice and all, but that just sounds too good to be true. Things like that don't happen anymore. Sure, 2,000 years ago, maybe Mary did that. Supernatural things, they don't exist any longer. That doesn't happen. That's over. The most I can expect is to come to church, feel a little better, maybe be nicer to a couple of people, and then go on with my life. Supernatural's done. And to you, I would say, no, because I've lived it. When I was 17 years old, I'm going to try to get through this. When I was 17 years old, it was October 26th, 1997. It was a Sunday morning. My youth pastor was speaking that day. And I was on the front row to support him. And he had preached a good message. And as we were wrapping up, it was a Baptist church, so you did an invitation. The preacher just stood there and said, walk that aisle. And we sang, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it was a hymn, I know. What are we doing with hymns? And something about that morning, I closed my eyes and I was like, I'm going to sing this song. I like this song. It was good. And I closed my eyes and I was singing that song. And, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and these things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I don't know what happened in that moment as I sang that song, but God whispered to me and spoke to me in almost as clear a way as when he called me here. And he said, this is you. This is your life. Everything else you think is important isn't. It's time to serve me. And he called me into full-time ministry right there in that moment. And it was horrifying because that was not the plan. I wanted to be very rich. And I was going to support churches like crazy. But no, God, that's not me. That's impossible. But I prayed about it and talked to my parents and talked to some other people and believed that was the case. And so the next Sunday, you know, I talked with my pastor and we went before the church and publicly proclaimed, yes, I'm asking you guys to pray for me because I'm going into full-time ministry. And it was a great experience. It really was. And then about probably 2 weeks later, my youth pastor came over and gave me this. And it was from a friend of mine. And it was a sealed envelope. And on the front it said, "For Trey Kelly, upon your calling into the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's what the front of the letter said. This was in October. October 26, 1997 is when this happened. You have to know that date. Because it was sealed, mind you. And the back of it said this. It said, "Sealed on this day, July 16th, 1997. And I'm not going to read you the whole letter. But this is what it says. He says, "It was as I was lifting you up in prayer that the Lord spoke to my heart. He told me to continue to lift you up in prayer because he plans to call you into the ministry. And I felt for some time this was you were going to be called. But today the Lord has confirmed these plans for you. And as I write these words, I have no plan to inform you of this calling. God is going to make it very plain to you, and I think it should come from him. Otherwise, one day, you may doubt that your calling was real. Satan may try to tell you that your calling was planted in your mind by others. But once you do receive God's call to ministry, I will share this letter with you. Know that from July 16th, 1997, and every day henceforth, that you and your ministry will be lifted up in prayer daily." And then on the back, he gives us, he gave some verses for me to have and to pray through and to remember. And this kind of blew me away the other day. Many of you guys know, you see the banners outside, Proverbs 4:23, "Guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life." Well, that verse continues, and wouldn't you know it, that the verses he wrote right here are the continuation of that passage. I know, all just strange, silly coincidence, right? All just way too good to be true. Or the God of the universe decided for some reason to do the impossible through me. And the reason I tell you this story, folks, is because if God can do the impossible through me, he can do the impossible through you. He can do the impossible through any of us. So, as we close, I just want to encourage you. Mary was a little girl who had found favor with God. She had a relationship with him. And she had people around her who God was moving in. And so when God came to her and said, "Hey, let's do this," she was like, "Okay. God of the universe wants to do that in your life. I don't know what he wants to do, but he wants to use you to change the world. I know it because his word says so. I'm ready. Are you? Let's go. Father, I thank you so much for your patience with us, Father, for your desire to work through us. It's crazy. God, I just pray right now that you will touch hearts, that you will shape people's lives, and you will be telling them even now, "Hey, this is what I want to do. This is where I want us to go. We can do this together because I'm the God of the universe and I'm all powerful." The thing you think sounds so terrifying, it's like a breath to me. Let's go. Let's do this. Because time's too short to not live the life God designed for you. Amen. Amen.